Welcome to season 2 of WeTel Talks. WeTel is a community for developers and WeTel Talks is our live audio stream. This is a recorded episode from the live stream. We invite inspiring techies from all over the world to meet, host talks and discuss the latest in tech. My name is Charlotte Holman and I'm the founder of WeTel. In this episode, we meet Ivana from Women in AI. She talks about her passion about AI and why diversity is so important in tech. She also talks about how AI can discriminate and how women in AI are on a mission to solve that. All right, so today with us we have Ivana von Proschwitz.
Yes!
Yay! And you're an entrepreneur who is working with innovation and AI at AI Sweden. And you're also part of the core team of Women in AI Sweden, leading their mentorship program.
Yes, that is correct.
Cool. And can you start by maybe telling a bit about yourself and your background?
Yes, of course. I didn't start in tech or in AI or innovation. I started totally in a different field because I studied law when I was younger and wanted to be a lawyer. And then along the way, I changed my mind. And that is okay. So I have worked with within insurance for over 10 years in business development roles and product development. And then in 2000... Or 2 years before that, I got the opportunity to work on a digital product and to create a digital motor insurance. And that was so fascinating and so interesting and so fun. So I really felt that this is the right place for me to be. So then I switched my career path and jumped on Antler. And Antler is a venture capital firm that has an entrepreneurship program. So if you are interested in entrepreneurship and have a business idea or tech idea, but maybe you don't have a tech founder or you maybe are not so good at like selling or scaling, then I would definitely recommend to check it out. Mm-hmm. And then after that program, I transitioned into entrepreneurship and have been working on a couple of my own ideas. And today I'm working with innovation and AI at AI Sweden.
Great. And why AI? What do you like about that?
Yeah, AI is the future, I believe. And we can already see that today, that AI is impacting every industry and every consumer, changing consumer behaviors and really impacting our lives. And I wanted to be part of the future and building the future and not just let anyone else build it for me. So that is why I got interested in AI.
Mm. And can you tell us a bit about your role? Maybe first when it comes to AI Sweden and then also your role in Women in AI.
Yeah, of course. So AI Sweden is a government-funded organization that has the mission to drive applied AI in Sweden. So we work a lot with our partners, and our partners consists of academia, of startups, of corporate partners, of regions, municipalities, and organizations and interesting individuals. So we are really there to accelerate use of AI and help partners to find different projects that they can work around, help them with them. We have built a data lab where our partners can come in and like do different projects. So really build a platform to help with the use and application of AI. And I work with our startups there and our startup community. We also have a new launch and a new initiative to tap into the Canadian AI ecosystem, because that ecosystem is pretty advanced. There is a lot of research there, a lot of funding as well, and a lot of government grants for driving AI startups and working with AI innovation. So I am creating a program for Canadian startups to come to Sweden and collaborate with our business partners. Mm. So it's super exciting.
Yeah, that sounds super exciting. And and women in AI, can you tell us a bit? So you are leading their mentorship program.
Yes, exactly. So I met the former ambassador for women in AI, Elena Kell, at Antler. We did the program together and we started to talk about AI, and she's really good in ethical AI and ethics side, and we were really talking about like the dangers and the lack of diversity, and that there are needed more women in the field. And then she was leading the team, and I said I would like to join because this is a really passion area for me. And Women in AI is a global NGO. It's a huge organization, our mission is to bridge the gender gap in AI and also to drive AI for the good of society. So, and we do this, we have different chapters in different countries, and we have 8,000 plus members worldwide. So it's a really cool place to be and engage with other women in the field. And we drive change through different initiatives. So in Sweden, we have done, together with AI Sweden, we have done an AI crash course, where everybody can join worldwide and learn about AI and network with other women in AI. And we have also had speakers and experts in different fields of AI. So that is a really good place to start if you are curious within AI. And we have also had different meetups and networking events. And the mentorship program, of course. Mm-hmm. Because I think... since women are underrepresented, we need to help more women to get into the field of AI and help them in the career. And I think that is mentorship is a good way to do that. Mm-hmm. So you can lean on someone and have someone to coach you and help you to get in the industry and to tell you about what opportunities are there, what school should you go, or what education do you need to get, and how do you get in if you don't have any contacts. So that is why I created the mentorship program, to help young professionals. And the funny thing is, our idea was to have female mentors. We were like, okay, we'll have female mentors coaching other females in AI, but we have one third of our mentors are actually men. I think that's amazing, because I think that men play a big role in bridging the gender gap in AI.
That's super interesting. And how many cities are you in now?
Yeah, we are in over 140 countries. So we have
almost the whole world.
Yes, almost the whole world. Yeah. So it's super powerful network.
Mm-hmm. Great. And if I as a woman want to join, how do I do and what can I expect?
Yeah, so
does it cost anything?
No, it's totally free to join, and you can go to our webpage, womeninai.co. And there is a sign up form, and then you can also get into our Slack channel, and there you can communicate with women around the world. With every community, you get as much out of it as you put in. So if you be curious and engage with other people are super helpful and want to share this knowledge and help each other. So I really encourage you to get in that community and then be active.
Mm-hmm. And do you have like events every month, or what exactly do I get? I get to chat with others, and what else do you offer?
Yeah, so good question. Thank you. So you get to network with others. We have events. We don't have regularly once a month, and because of the corona pandemic, the events have been scaled down a bit, mostly online. But we had an event before Christmas that was live, actually, and we were so happy about it. But we try to have regular events around different areas and different topics. We had we had several digital events during the fall. We are opening the mentorship program soon, so if you really want support, and in the previous cohort we had 30 pairs of mentors and mentees, and there was a widespread of everything from academia, and there was data scientists, coders, there was business people with a business profile, that's gonna open soon. And the crash course, then we have the crash course that you can sign up. It's totally free. It's 5 events with speakers and some education parts and networking events. So that is a super great place to start. Mm-hmm. We also have a research lead in our team that is driving that area more, and we have different collaborations with the academia, and we had arranged different hackathons last year. So different opportunities. So I would encourage you also to follow us on our LinkedIn page, because that's where we post all the activities in Sweden. So it's Women in AI Sweden. Mm-hmm. And if you have other ideas around, like, what would you like to hear, or what would you like us to create, we are super open to ideas, because we are here to create value for our community.
Mm. It's cool. It sounds very much similar to us.
Yeah.
We have WeTal Include, which is our, like, for our female community. Mm. And we also had the event in December. We were so happy about that. And then it was lockdown again. So
yeah, but the small wins, right? You have to celebrate the small wins.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, great. And can you tell us a bit about why it's so important to get women into AI?
Yes, and this is really a passion area for me, because when I got into this space and tech in general, like, I'm a tech entrepreneur, super interested about AI. There is a lack of female representation, and the what we have seen the last years are some cases, or a lot of cases, where things go bad when you don't have a representative group of people building that product. For example, in the UK, there was a solution that could scan for cancer in like skin cancer. But the problem was that it could only detect white skin. I mean, this is not acceptable in my eyes. And that is why I get shivers, like, when I hear cases like this, because it's not just some people doing a product like that sells shoes. I mean, this is really impacting people's lives. And also, if you are going to get treatment or not, or detect cancer in your skin or not. I mean, AI is like, it's everything on steroids, I would say. And the danger also is that the creator of AI is going to transfer its biases into the algorithms, and that will have a huge impact on people's lives. Mm. We have other cases also where police in the US have implemented AI solutions to, like, decide parole, and they could see that they discriminated black colored people, it was a systematic error and biases in the algorithms. Mm. And we can also And there is another aspect as well, like if we don't have female representation, like who's going to build all the femtech products? Who's going to build healthcare for us? I mean, male men, they don't have the experience about being pregnant. They don't have the experience about menopause. They don't have any period. So, I mean, we can't as women expect someone else to create the future and the products that we need. So that is why I'm really passionate, like get in there and like get in the game and think about what needs you have and then drive those initiatives and those products to push out to the world. And we have also, now I'm just blah, 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 blah,
yeah,
but I get so excited, I get so excited about this topic. We have also like when Apple Watch released their Apple Watch, I mean, there was no period tracking. And you could get like responses like, oh, you feel great today. And you're like in the middle of your period, you feel shit. And it's like, okay, you don't understand.
Do you feel great today? No.
No, I feel like shit because I'm on my period. And you don't get that because you were built by a man that don't know how it feels to have a period. So, yeah, and a lot of innovation is lost or not being created because of lack of female perspective. So get in there. Be the part, be the change and drive change and be part of building the future and building products of tomorrow.
Yeah. And, definitely, I'm like, yes, we can.
Of course we can and we will.
Yeah. Super classic question about how should we get more women into tech?
Yes, I think we need to work in like different, have different strategies and different ways. I think what you are doing is, and other like cool female founders are doing is super important, like encouraging more women to take the step. I think mentorship is a great way also to have someone to help you and coach you. It doesn't feel as scary and maybe you will dare to take bigger steps. I think also create role models are very important, like showcasing if you can see other women in AI and you can see, oh, but that could be me. It's not just a glamorous person that you can't like associate with, but it's a real person with real struggles and a mother with two kids and she's still building this kick-ass femtech. I mean, I think those role models are really needed and really, really important so that more people and younger girls can see AI and tech as a career path. I didn't see that when I was young. I just had the traditional paths before me and also the academia paths, like the traditional roles, and I chose to study law. So I wish that I had more role models when I was young within tech and AI and entrepreneurship, like with women building their own business, and that I understood that earlier, that could be a path for me as well.
Yeah, I feel exactly the same.
Good.
I started 10 years ago and I also didn't have much role model. I mean, I didn't have any role models.
No.
Almost. But how come you chose it anyway?
I chose it because when I got the chance to create, and I mean, this was not a chance, like someone gave it to me. I took a leap because I'd never built a digital product before. I never did project management for a big project like that. But I thought that it sounded interesting and I was like, okay, I'm going to take a chance. I'm going to try this out. And I got the role. So obviously the company believed in me. So then I need to believe in myself as well. And then I learned a lot. So if you are a tech person, I mean, it's obviously you can start with coding and then transitioning, learning more about the different AI techniques and technologies and deep diving into natural language processing or machine learning or whatever you are interested in. But if you're not a tech person, because I was not a tech person, there is still roles for you. I would say. So think about, like, what have you learned in your career and what are the transitional skills that you know? Because a team, like a tech product, they still need someone to product manage, they still need sales, they still need, like, branding and social media, marketing people. So I would just say, yeah, get in there and just try. Maybe you'll get 10 no's, but then eventually you'll get a yes, and then you just start from there.
Mm.
Did I answer your question?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, great.
Okay,
you asked me why I chose tech or AI.
Yeah, but I think you answered some of it. But you
yeah,
can, if you have
but
more,
it's because I want to be part of building the future.
Mm.
And I think that, like, building tech and AI is so important because that builds the future of tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super important.
Super important.
And if I want to get into AI, what are the first steps except for going into women in AI? Like, what can I do to just get started and see if it's something for me?
Yeah, I would say join the crash course just to get the basic and understand what AI is, because a lot of people that don't know about AI, they maybe think it's this evil robot that will come to the earth and like take our jobs. It's not like that. So AI is different technologies. So I would just say, I mean, if you want to get into a technical role, coding is great, and studying. Hyper Island has good courses in AI and other academic places. So you can get into a tech and technical role, or you can get into a business role. I mean, product management is always interesting. That's what I love, at least. So I would just say try. And if you feel that it's not for you, then you know.
Yeah, and if I want to be... So, do you code, by the way? Or
no,
do you...
I don't.
Do you feel like you would want to do the crash course yourself just to...
I have done it.
Okay,
yeah.
So you know the basics,
yes,
of the code. Okay.
Yeah, I know some.
Yeah. Do you think that's necessary to know some code if you want to be a project manager, for example?
I think it's always a good thing, but not necessary. I don't know that much coding, but I have worked as a product manager, so... you have technical roles and then you have business roles, and for business roles you definitely need to understand the technical parts and work with tech teams, so like prioritizing, setting a product map and what features you should build first. You definitely have to have interaction with your customers and users to like find new features and improvements. You definitely need to understand the tech, but you don't have to code or create the tech yourself. If you want a business role, if you want a technical role, then go for it all in.
And I was thinking about this mentorship program that you are leading. So how do you get these mentors, first of all?
Yes, very good question. For the first cohort, we reached out to our network to get mentors, and we got a really great response. And we also did some marketing activities on our LinkedIn. But since, the size of the mentorship program depends on the mentors, and we have soon a new cohort. So please, if you're listening, if you want to pay it forward, if you want to coach other, help women and females into field of AI and tech, please reach out to me, and we'll be super happy to have you as a mentor. So we are looking for new mentors.
And what do I get as a mentor and a mentee?
Yeah, great question. And I just add, like, you don't have to be super senior to be a mentor. Like, some people say, oh, but I'm not senior enough. But you are senior enough, because we can then match you with someone that is still studying or like thinking about getting into the field. So there is a wide variety of seniority and knowledge level of our mentees. So like everybody's needed. Mm-hmm. So what you get as a mentor, you get an amazing mentee that is super ambitious and really is appreciating your help. We also make it clear that it's up to the mentee to drive the conversation and be clear what they want you to help them with. And there is 5 meetings once a month. So that is the commitment. So it's not that a lot. And then we have also an opening ceremony, midterm check-in, and closing ceremony. So as a mentor, you also get a network. So you get to meet other mentors in the program, people from other companies. And the mentors that have been in the program, they find it really rewarding because you always learn something and you get new perspectives. And if you are a mentee, yes, this is your super good opportunity for you to accelerate your career and really get a helping hand, someone that can help you and push you and hopefully open doors. So I think, and network as well with other mentees in the program. Mm.
It's super good.
Yeah, thank you. would you like to be a mentor?
How much time was it?
It's like once a month, 1 hour a month.
Okay, I can't say no now, I'm on a podcast. Oh, you tricked me into saying yes. I'm a JavaScript developer, I don't know so much AI.
Okay.
Otherwise, I would have said yes.
Okay, fair enough.
But I actually think it would be super cool, and I am actually looking for a mentor myself in entrepreneurship.
Cool.
Because we've been talking to so many people on this podcast that a lot of people from different communities, mm-hmm. and they have also mentorship programs, and I got so inspired that you can actually have a mentor, because me myself, I would feel so shy to walk up and ask someone that I really look up to, like, hey, can you help me with stuff? It would feel weird. So it's really good with programs.
Yeah, I think programs definitely help, and it's clear, but I would say just go for it. I mean, most people are very flattered if you reach out to them and just say like, oh hi, I love what you're doing, like I would really want to develop in this field, I'm building this company, and would you like, I mean, you don't have to say would you like to be my mentor, but you can say would you like to catch up for a coffee and talk about, because then you have a clear agenda and a clear ask, what do you want to ask them. I have informal mentors, I don't have a formal mentor, but I have some people in my entrepreneurship network that I see as my mentors.
They don't know that
they
are,
know but that. But I make sure to meet them regularly, and also to like think through like what can this person help me with, or what am I struggling with in my entrepreneurship right now that this person can ask me or give me another perspective. So think about like informal mentors, and you just like connect with those people and ask them.
But I think it's super good to just ask someone out for coffee because you admire something that they do, and you can talk about that topic. Sometimes I get people that want to talk to me because I am a founder, but they don't say what the topic is about. They just say like, oh, let's go and have a meeting. I'm like, but what is the meeting about? So that is a very good thing that you said, that you should maybe like have agenda. Like, what is the meeting about? But I mean, it's nice to have coffees, but
I totally understand. I mean,
but if you're reaching out to someone, so I am not, I don't see myself as important, but if I were to reach out to someone famous, for example, I can assume that they can't have coffee with everyone. I don't know.
But you're right. I mean, people are very busy and have a tight agenda, but if you have a specific ask and it's interesting for them, then I think they're more likely to say yes. And exactly what you're saying, like, don't just say hi, do you want to have a coffee, like be specific. Like, I'm thinking about this idea, or I want to work in a similar company as you are doing. So can you please give me some advice
around
that?
Because you are so cool.
Yeah, exactly. That helps. Yeah, exactly. So just like be clear what you want and like why you are contacting them. Then they will be really flattered, I think. And like be, of course, we can have a coffee and I can tell you about this industry or whatever.
Great advice. And I know that you're also interested in like women's history in tech, and you have some examples of like interesting women that has done cool things for tech. Do you
yes.
just wanted to mention a few?
Yes, of course. Yeah, and I think that I found this very interesting and fascinating that through history we have cut out women, and it's not just in tech, it's like in innovation and in entrepreneurship and everything, so that makes me mad. So yeah, I think it's really important that we put them back in the history where they belong. And Catherine Marsal, she's an economic writer and writes about of women and in history and women in innovation, and she has also written a book, Mother of Innovation, where she writes about different inventions. Is that the right word?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, different ideas that was not like invested in, or they didn't commercialize until much later because of the assumption of gender. For example, the rolling bag or the suitcase, there were like attempts and patents and suggestions much earlier to like commercialize that, but since it was mainly men that were traveling, and it didn't like, it was manly to like a man carry his own bag, that was the gender assumption. So they thought like, oh, but we don't want to invest in a suitcase that has wheel, because no one will buy that, no man will buy that, and it's like everybody uses that today. So I think that is a really good point if you are really interested about history and in innovation. And if we look at the tech side, we have, for example, Ada Lovelace, that was the first programmer. Like, not a lot of people are aware of that. When you think about programmers, you think about men, and you think about the big tech entrepreneurs. And a funny fact also is that in Sweden, or the first computers that were built, they were like huge computers that took up like the whole room. And when they needed someone to like code and like handle the computers, there were women hired to like administrate the computers, and you in the beginning you were also calculating the hours spent on that job as flick hours, like girl hours, because they were like measured in how much time it took for these women to like program and get the result that you needed from the computers. And like nobody talks about that today, so I think that's really fascinating as well. And we have another awesome woman that's called Hedy Lamarr. She was actually the inventor of Wi-Fi. So I think and many, many more. So if you are interested, there is a lot of sources on YouTube and internet to read about.
I wish I could have a coffee with them.
Yes.
The inventor of Wi-Fi.
Yeah, that would be super cool.
Okay, just one last question. So if you can have one choice, what would you want to see in AI in the near future that maybe doesn't exist today?
I would like to see much more like female entrepreneurs creating AI, and not just like Steve Jobs and Bill Gates and Elon Musk. I would like to see more women taking the power and like creating super cool products that are gonna scale globally and be huge and have a huge impact. That is what I would like to see. And if we think about like product wise, that's a tricky one.
Period app.
Period.
I want to know what my mood is today.
Yeah, of course. I don't know. Maybe like some app that can read people or something. That you can like see if it's a good person or not to engage with. I don't know,
useful.
Or a mood app or something maybe. So you can see, like, before entering a meeting, in what mood people are in. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a tricky question. What would you like to see?
No, but I definitely think that, like, the medical that
yeah.
is upsetting that. But it's also, you know, I don't remember exactly where I heard this from, but like that most surgeries are done on like
yeah.
hearts, for example, is on male
mm.
hearts.
Yeah.
So, I mean, definitely we need 50-50 in that.
Yeah, but we have the most information about the male body because
mm.
A lot of males, or before it was like all of them had to go to the military. So then they did like really proper tests on their bodies.
Mm.
So there is a lot of data on male bodies actually, but there is none on women. And I think that the female body is so different, like because both in like structure and weight and hormones especially, and our bodies are changing through our life. And male body is not changing in the same way. Because we go through period and we go through like pregnancies and we go through menopause. So yeah, but I see progress in that area, and I'm super happy about that as well. Like period apps, and there are pregnancy apps and postpartum apps, and yeah, so that. And I saw also that some articles that women were more likely to die in a surgery. And I think that's very scary.
Mm.
So yeah, there is needed more information about the female body and how we can create products for us, definitely.
Yeah.
And one last thing, also when we look at about stress and burnout, there is like females are overrepresented in that field as well.
Mm.
And then we can ask why.
Mm.
Yeah, and how do we adjust, or how do we like work with our lives so we don't get burned out?
Mm.
Yeah, but yeah, interesting future to come. I
yeah,
think.
Super fun to have you here. Very important topics, and I wish you all the best
in
the future.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. WeTel Talks is created by WeTel, a coding community with thousands of developers. In our app, you can find your next career opportunity or join tech conversations. See you next time.